If something's wrong, tell me about it. Craig made a face somewhere between annoyed and sheepish. Well, it's kind of silly, I guess. What is it, for Christ's sakes? With a tired puff of breath, Craig sank onto his bunk. Well, I'm kind of pissed about being a second-class citizen around here. Trumbull stared at him in amazement. Second-class citizen? Yeah, you know. They all think I'm nothing more than a repairman, for shit's sake. Well, I'm a scientist, just like you and the rest of y'all, Craig grumbled. Maybe I didn't get my degree from a big-name school. Maybe I've spent most of my time working for oil companies. But I was smart enough to get picked over a lot of guys with fancier pedigrees. Sure you are. That Fuchida, damn Jap so uptight, I think if he sneezed, he'd come apart. Looks at me like I'm a servant or something. That's just his way. And the women, they act like I'm a grandfather or something. Hell, I'm younger than Jamie. I'm younger than Stacy is. Did you know that? For the first time, Dex Trumbull understood that Craig was hurting and vulnerable. This jowly, shaggy, good-natured bear of a man with a prominent snoot and permanent 5 o'clock shadow wants to be treated with some respect. That makes him usable, Dex realized. Listen, Wiley, Dex began. I didn't know that we were hurting your feelings. Not you so much. It's the rest of them. They think I'm just here to be their bleepin' repairman. Least you call me Wiley. Never did like being called Possum. My name's Peter J. Craig. The microwave oven chimed. Dex ignored it and sat on his own bunk opposite Craig's. I'll get them to call you Wiley, then, or Peter, if you prefer. Wiley is fine. A smile crept across Trumbull's face. Okay, then it's going to be Wiley from now on. I'll make certain that Jamie and the others get the word. Looking embarrassed, Craig mumbled, kind of silly, ain't it? No, Dex said. If Jamie and the others are bothering you, you've got a right to complain about it. To himself, Trumbull thought, if and when we get to a place where I've got to outgun Jamie, I'll need Wiley on my side. Wiley, and as many of the others as I can round up. Jamie spent nearly an hour after dinner talking with Rodriguez and Fuchida atop Olympus Mons. They were spending the night in their seats in the plane's cockpit. Like trying to sleep in an airliner, Jamie thought. Tourist class, in hard suits. He did not envy them their creature comforts. Still in the comm center, he scrolled through the messages that had accumulated through the long, eventful, draining day. It took more than another hour to deal with them. Everything from a request for more VR sessions from the International Council of Science Teachers to a reminder that his mission status report for the week was due in the morning. One message was from Darrell C. Trumbull. Since it was marked personal and confidential, Jamie saved it, planning to go to his own quarters before he looked at it. But when he finished all the other messages, he glanced up from the comm screen and saw that the dome was darkened for the night. Suddenly it seemed chilly, as if the frigid cold of the Martian night were seeping through the dome's plastic walls. No one seemed to be about. No voices, only the background sounds of the machinery. And if he listened carefully enough, the soft sighing of the night wind outside. So he opened Trumbull's personal message. Darrell C. Trumbull's eyes were blazing, his skull-like face grim as death. Who in the hell gave you the authority to send my son out on this excursion to the Sagan site? He began, furious, with no preamble. God damn it to hell and back, Waterman. I specifically gave orders not to allow Dex out on that excursion. And so it went for nearly 15 blistering minutes. Jamie watched Trumbull's angry face, flabbergasted at first, then growing angry himself. But as the older man blathered on, Jamie's anger slowly dissolved. Behind Trumbull's bluster, he saw a man worried about his son's safety, a man accustomed to power and authority, but totally frustrated now because there was no way he could control the men and women on Mars. No way he could control his own son. He can't even talk to us face to face, Jamie knew. All he can do is rant and rave and wait to see if we respond to him. Trumbull finally wound down and finished with, I want you to know, Waterman, that you cannot countermand my orders and get away with it. You'll pay for this, and if anything happens to my son, you'll pay with your goddamned blood." The screen went blank. Jamie reran the whole message, then froze Trumbull's angry, snarling image at its end. Leaning back in the squeaking little wheeled chair, Jamie wondered if he should be firm or conciliatory. A soft answer turneth away wrath, he thought. But Trumbull won't be diverted that easily. There's more involved here than a squabble between Trumbull and me, he told himself. That old man is a primary force behind the funding for this expedition and the next. If you want a smooth road for the next expedition, Jamie told himself, you've got to keep Trumbull on the team. Yet, as he stared at the coldly furious image on the screen, anger simmered anew within Jamie. Trumbull has no right to scream at me or anybody else like that. If he's sore at his son, he should take it out on Dex, not me. And if I give him the impression that he can push me around, he'll start making more demands. He's a bully. The more I give in to him, the more he'll take. What's the best path, Grandfather? How can I do this without causing more pain? He took a deep breath, then pressed the key that activated the computer's tiny camera. Jamie saw its red eye come on, just atop Trumbull's stilled image on the screen. "Mr. Trumbull," he said slowly, "I can understand your concern for your son's safety. I had no idea you sent a message that Dex was not to go on the excursion to pick up the Pathfinder hardware. There was no such message addressed to me. And with all due respect, sir, you are not in command of this expedition. I am. You are not in a position to give orders." Jamie looked directly into the camera's unblinking red eye and continued, "Neither Dex nor anyone else here will receive any special privileges. The idea for picking up Pathfinder was his, and he certainly wanted to go out on the excursion. Even had I known of your wishes, I'm afraid I would have had to go against them. This is Dex's job, and I'm sure he'll do it without trouble. He's got the best man we have along with him, Dr. Craig. If they run into any difficulties, they will return to base. I have no intention of taking foolish risks with anyone's life." Unconsciously hunching closer to the camera, Jamie concluded, "I know that you helped to raise most of the money for this expedition, and we're all very grateful for that. But that doesn't give you the authority to make decisions about our work here. You can go to the ICU and complain to them if you want to. But frankly, I don't see what even they could do for you. We're here, more than 100 million kilometers from Earth, and we have to make our own decisions. I'm sorry this particular decision has you so upset and worried. Maybe when Dex comes back with the Pathfinder and Sojourner, you'll feel differently. Good night." He tapped the keyboard twice, once to turn off the camera, the other to transmit his message to Trumbull. Only then did he blank the old man's image from the screen. "I would have told him to stick it up his ass." Jamie wheeled around and saw Vijay leaning against the partition doorway, holding a steaming mug in both hands, as if she were trying to warm herself with it. "How long have you been there?" She came in and sat down beside him. "I was getting myself a cuppa when I heard Dex's dad ranting." She was in her bulky coral-red turtleneck sweater and loose-fitting jeans instead of the usual coveralls, sitting so close to him that Jamie caught the delicate scent of the herbal tea she was drinking, sensed its warmth. He said, "The old man must have told Dex he didn't want him going out on this excursion, and Dex never informed me about it." Vijay took a sip from the steaming mug.
"Should he have?"
"It would have helped."
"Maybe he was afraid you'd nix the excursion if you knew."
Jamie shook his head. "I couldn't do that. Let somebody like Trumbull think he can boss you around and you'll never hear the last of him." She dipped her chin in agreement.
"There is that."
"I just hope nothing happens while he's out there," Jamie said.
"Then you hope that anyway? Before Trumbull's blast, I mean."
"Yeah, sure, but you know what I mean."
"Yes, I suppose I do."
Jamie blurted, "You slept with him, didn't you?"
"With Dex?"
"During the flight." Jamie was shocked that he mentioned it. The words had come out before he realized what he was going to say. Vijay nodded, her expression.